Well, y'all can always know what my personal issues are. Well, I suspect you can anyway. But I mean, you can always figure it out by what I talk about. Because if I figure I need to work on something, I'll create a talk about it, or I'll do a newsletter on it. Because that way I dig into it, and, you know, let's be honest, it's all about me when it comes to things like this. You know, it's what I need to deal with. If I wanted to look outward and just talk about what's out there, then that's easy. You know, it's always easy to talk about what's going on in the world. What's not easy is to talk about what's going on inside here. But if I look outward, in the last several years, I've noticed something. And one thing I've noticed is that the elections, whenever there's elections around the world, they're practically 50-50. Seems like, you know, there's always like a nail biter. Like, who's going to win this race? Who's going to become the president of Egypt or Turkey? And it seems like the whole world is just kind of right, pretty much split right down the middle, 50-50, and you never know what's up. And it can be kind of exhausting to watch it. And it seems to me that would be okay. What's wrong with a country that's 50-50? It seems like that would mean there's a lot of checks and balances. This side over here would be kind of keeping an eye on this side over here. And, you know, everything would be just really rosy except for one thing. It's not the division, I don't think, that's such a problem. The problem is the judgment. The one side judging the other. That seems to me to be where the problem really resides. You know, you could take an issue like to mask or not to mask, you know, and it seems like we're just all split one down the other. And I used to think that, since I always think, you know, I kind of get on the side that, you know, if everybody would just wear a mask, this would be over in no time. So it's always the fault of those people who aren't wearing masks, and they probably should be caned, you know, and that would solve everything. And I was getting really judgmental about it. You know, I'd go into the grocery store and I'd see people not wearing a mask, and I'd go, you know. You know, or John would be in here, because John's so honest with himself. He'd go, oh, I hate this thing, you know. And, you know, and I'd sit there inside making these judgments. Until about, when did I send out that email about the speaker? About a week ago? Something like that. Yeah, last weekend, a speaker that I really respect. She's a real sweetheart, and she's very intelligent. And she would be the last person on earth, I would think, that would have an issue with the mask. And so I was trying to get her scheduled, and she said, well, I have to wear a mask. Then I said, well, I hate to tell you this, but yeah. And she says, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And she explained to me why she couldn't do it. And I realized it had absolutely nothing to do with selfishness or anything at all to do with focus solely on my rights versus your needs. It was very intelligent, and it was very thoughtful. And I was like, here's somebody that I can't possibly judge this. It didn't mean that I agreed with her. I didn't. At the end of it, I was like, well, that's really beautiful. I don't agree with you. But I was taken aback by my that I listened, I guess is what it was. And at the end of it, I had complete respect for her decision not to wear that mask. And what happened was my judgments completely fell away. And I think the issue was, is that before that, my mind was totally made up and I was afraid to see the validity of the other side. I was scared to hear what she had to say about it. And she gave me all kinds of resources to look at, which I'd seen on Facebook, but I've never read. And I came to realize that I haven't read them because I'm afraid. Still to this day, I'm afraid that I'm so entrenched in what I believe, it kind of scares me. And I think that fear within me is what creates the judgment. Actually, I don't want to spend a lot of time in this talk on what's going on out there in the world. Because when it comes to judgment, that's not where the real damage happens. The real damage occurs within the person who's doing the judgment. There's a guy, I was researching stuff a lot, and I ran across a quote by this guy named Henry Carlson. I'd never heard of him before. But he's made a statement that I thought was wonderful. He said, judgmentalism is a work of darkness. It's bitter, unjustly cynical, and seeks to destroy. The works of darkness turn us away from charity and grace, and the more we hold on to judgments, the further we find ourselves away from our source. Likewise, the more we hold on to judgments, the further we cut ourselves off from the common good. In this way, it can be said that our judgment is its own punishment. Interesting. Basically, he's saying judgment creates its own karma. And it comes back to us in bitterness and division, where I am no longer part of the circle of life on this planet. I've cut myself off through my judgment. Ultimately, judgmentalism is a defense mechanism, and it has a purpose. The purpose of our judgments are that they protect us. By putting down and judging other people, this makes us feel superior, which is the same thing as self-righteousness, and therefore it gives us a false sense of self-worth. They need that. Judging pushes people away. The more judgmental I get, the more people are shoved away so that they don't hurt me. Should I do something to make that go away? Okay, I'll talk to you for the countdown. Yeah, go sit sideways. Maybe like this. Okay. Okay. If I really genuinely think deeply about judgmentalism and my own judgmentalism, ultimately judgmentalism is rooted in our harsh judgment upon ourselves. It's a protection. It's a projection of our own lack of self-worth onto other people. Those people who are the greatest critics of others are invariably the worst judge of themselves. If I'm judging myself harshly, I will project that harsh judgment onto the world. There is no other way around it. It's going to happen. I find this reflected a lot in the most legalistic of Christian church denominations. The more their harsh judgments within their church push them down and break their self-esteem, the more likely they are to lash out in judgment against other people. I mean, having been in church work for a long time, I saw that a whole lot. And I think Jesus came, he came from that same religious environment where there was a lot of laws and a lot of do this and a lot of do that. And because of that, there was a lot of division and, you know, people looking at one another and judging each other to determine whether or not that person is following the law as well as I think I'm following it. So right off the bat, Jesus sought out to eliminate judgmentalism and legalism so that it wouldn't end up creating division. A lot of people don't know this, which is okay, but if you study the Bible, there's a... Anybody know what the Council of Jerusalem was? And I mean, not like something you should know what the Council of Jerusalem was, but in the book of Acts, the Council of Jerusalem is described in what happened. Peter and Paul were button heads, and Paul wanted the elimination of law, of the law. And the reason he wanted that is because he wanted to, for the Christians to reach out to the Greeks and the whole rest of the world. And the only way that was going to work is if those people that they reached out to didn't have to follow a set of laws. And in that butting of heads, which was the Council of Jerusalem, Paul won and Peter lost. And so ultimately what happened was there was the elimination of, in Christianity anyway, there was the elimination of all previous laws, all the Jewish laws and precepts. And so they looked at it and they said, well, can we exist without any legalism at all? And ultimately what was said was, well, there's some stuff that probably isn't really good for the newcomers if they come in to see. So they said, the only law we're going to have is that you are asked not to eat meat that has been sacrificed to idols. And that was it. So that was it. That was the only law of the Christian church, is not to eat meat sacrificed to idols. In other words, other than that, there was nothing. Got it. Okay. Where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong? I mean, it's right there in the Bible that there is no law, there is no judgment. There is nothing to condemn one another with. And then now you look at the Catholic Church and there's books, stacks of law. We've gone right back to it. But that's not where the church was founded. So how do we end the habit of judgmentalism, of criticizing one another? And I believe that the answer is that above all, we need to work on our own self-esteem, because that's the root of judgment to begin with. The more accepting you are of yourself, the more accepting you will be of other people. And conversely, the more rejecting you are of yourself, the more rejecting you will be of other people. That's a bottom line reality. Self-acceptance is ultimately about honoring all that it means to be human. Instead of putting yourself up on some kind of a pedestal, self-acceptance is about realistically looking at yourself and understanding why you are the way you are and embracing who you are at the core level. Now, I have a problem with that if I understand it in a certain way. I've got a problem with it if it means that therefore I assume that I have no issues, no growth issues. I am perfect and there is no flaws. That isn't what it means. It means I look down within myself and I see what's there and I accept it as reality within me. And then once I have truly accepted who I am, that gives me the strength to be able to move forward. If I deny a part of myself and judge it, that weakens me. And I'm unable, I don't have the strength to move forward. My goal is to continue moving, to continue growing, to not get stuck. And I can't do that if I'm judging myself. I can do it if I accept myself, as well as all the little darkness and all the little places there that need growth. And I say, that's who I am. I understand myself. I know why I'm that way. Now I can move forward. There's no judgment, but there is observation and there's awareness. This talk was entitled "Freeing." I wonder what it was. It called "Freeing Ourselves from the Burden of Judgment." Isn't that right? Okay. So if I'm going to talk about, is that right? Did I get it right? Freeing ourselves from the burden of judgment. Is that what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, I forgot what I was talking about. Okay. Well, whatever. We'll just move on for that. So that says that we're going to look at how we can move forward, not just assessing the issue, but how do I move forward? So I guess there needs to be some places where we can start to work on our own self-worth so we can begin releasing ourselves from judgment. Well, one thing, let's just make a list of a few things you could do, okay? And if you guys want copies of this, I'll send it to you. Obviously, taking care of our body and our health is a really good thing for our self-esteem, but not doing it obsessively, which can be rooted in fear. You know, I've got to take this supplement and I can't eat that. I've got to do, where we become so obsessed that ultimately you dig down in there, that's fear. But I would say, look, stay as healthy as you can. Yeah, do what you can to take care of your body. I think a really good one, and I think this works, is make a list daily at first of everything that you appreciate about yourself. That sounds so corny, but it really does work. It does sound corny, doesn't it? You know, try it. It's like I always say, if you got an issue with somebody, go home and write a letter to them. Not you're going to mail, write it to them. Sounds corny, swear to God it works. But make a list of the things that you appreciate about yourself. And if you're running dry, drawing a big old blank, call somebody, ask them for help. What do you see in me that's worthy? And people help you out with that kind of stuff. And it works. Removing toxic people from your life really works to help your self-esteem. You know, and if you can't get rid of them because, they're like your close relative, well, set some boundaries. You know, you can always do that. Setting boundaries is a way of really taking care of yourself and improving your self-esteem. That's a cruncher. That will really get to you. And it'll make you feel a lot better. Another one is to work toward accepting your own less proper stuff, your shadow self. Work toward, Native Americans called it the coyote self. That could be the one with a dark sense of humor, the one that's pretty ornery. I was thinking about it as my 10-year-old side that likes to get in trouble. Make peace with that person. That's a good person. I will not let go of that person. I'm still to this day making some nasty, not nasty, but maybe sarcastic comment. And some people will think it's funny and some don't. But I'm not going to get rid of that little coyote side of myself because that's part of my shadow side and I want to make peace with it. There's this quote by Lady Gaga. I always quote Lady Gaga as my spiritual guide. She says, If you don't, now I love this. I love this. She says, if you don't have any shadow, you're not standing in the light. Yeah, is that not cool? Okay. Another one is just to contemplate yourself as part of the circle of life on this earth. When you go out walk in the woods, realize you're part of all this. Look at that giant, gorgeous tree that you just walked past. Which one is greater, you or the tree? Neither, because it's a circle. You're part of it. Look at that. You know, you see this picture of this magnificent blue whale with a boat going over it, and it just dwarfs the boat. You're equal to that whale. You're part of all that is on this earth. And when I realize that, it makes me feel a lot better about myself. Another good one is to avoid, there's certain words that I don't want to say avoid these words, but that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to avoid saying it, but you know, I just said it and I'm going to say it. Words like should and ought. It's not that I want to get rid of those words. I want to get rid of the concept underneath them, because I have heard people and I have watched people get rid of the word should and ought, and yet they replace it with other phrases that are identical. Let me submit to you. May I suggest? And it's, no, I want to get rid of all of that. I want to get rid of the concept beneath it. Bottom line, I want to avoid giving advice unless somebody has specifically asked for it. Now that's tough to do, to just keep your trap shut. And unless somebody comes up and says, I would like you help me with this. That means, okay, it's all right to talk about it. So what am I doing right now? I'm giving all this wonderful advice. But you know what? You guys came here for this. So I say, okay, all right, you asked for it. Sucker. Okay. Another one is really try the best you can to look deeply into other people's situations. It's so easy to just very quickly, somebody's mean or nasty, or they cut in line, or they say some really hurtful thing, you know? And what's the first thing that pops into my mind? There was a calculated plan on their part to be mean. They're mean people. They thought about that. Am I the only sick person in the room that goes there? Or no, okay, yeah, I am the only sick person. Well, that's okay. It's all right. I am a twisted dude, but you know, that's where it comes, that's where my brain goes. You know, they thought about that. That's their intent. And I look deeper, and what I will see is that they're functioning from not a plan, but a pain of very human tragic struggle. And that's where that stuff is coming from. It's not from a plan. This helps me to show compassion to them. But what's more important than that? When I look deeply into them to try to see where it's coming from, that compassion I show bounces back to me, and it helps me to forgive myself. And it builds my own self-esteem. And that's what it's about. Because once I start doing that, once I start respecting who I am, my judgmentalism melts away. Okay. I can set that down, can't I? Okay. I'm not touching it. I'm not even thinking about it. Okay. I think the most important way to reduce myself from judgmentalism is to ground myself in mindfulness. One thing that drives me nuts that I do to myself is when I will, even when I'm out walking in the woods alone, well, alone with me and my dogs, judgmental thoughts can run through my head. Or if I have some frustration of the day, it starts running through my brain. And all of a sudden I realize that I have passed some of the most beautiful places that I always love, and I haven't even seen them. And the reason I haven't seen them is because of my judgmentalism, because my thoughts are spinning in my head and I'm not able to let go of them. So when I become lost in a world of judgments and assessments, if I can mindfully pay attention to that present moment, where am I at? What am I doing? What am I seeing? What's the breeze is blowing across my face. I feel the ground underneath my feet. This time of year, I could look and I say, oh, look at these spectacular colors. And all of a sudden, I am grounded in the moment and I'm walking in mindfulness. And when I do that, judgments go away. Regularly practicing mindfulness, and I don't mean just once, but letting it become a habit, will help you to discern without passing judgment, to see, to observe, but without passing judgment. If I walk, I always talk about walking in the forest because I do it a lot. I'm going to do it this afternoon too. I got it all planned out. So I go out walking in the woods. I see a tree. It's all bent like this. The first thought in my brain is, oh my God, that's a disgusting looking tree. It shouldn't be there. Somebody should cut that down. No, it's not. It's with a tree. It's not, is it? No, with a tree. Why? Because the tree doesn't judge me. I don't feel threatened by a tree. So I look at the tree and I can just simply observe it. And I go, what a cool looking tree. You know, why can't I do that with everybody else? I see somebody that's different, somebody that's a little twisted and a little bent. Why can't I just go, what a really interesting person. That's fascinating. And then I just observe, I see, I'm rooted in and I'm grounded in my mindfulness, and I'm not judging. The ultimate thing is that in mindfulness will teach me how to distinguish the difference between things and people without sliding over to considering worthiness. That's where the problem comes in. When instead of observing, I'm obsessing worthiness. Am I looking at that bent tree in the forest and assessing its worthiness? No, I'm just looking at it and I'm kind of fascinated by it. But the thought of worthiness doesn't come into my mind. But it does with people. And as soon as I slide into thinking about worthiness, I am completely out of observation. I am gone from simple mindfulness. I've slid into judgment. It's not our place to assess worthiness. That's not our place, period. Everything and everyone is worthy in and of themselves. Simply by their existence alone, they are worthy. Mindfulness helps us observe with detachment. It helps me to get the ego out of the way so that I can see things and people for who they are apart from me. Apart from me. If I can get myself and my ego out of the way, then I can be mindful. Then I can simply observe. And all these are skills that they take time. They're not easy to achieve. It's like meditation. You don't just sit down and do meditation and bingo, you're not having thoughts. No, that doesn't happen. It takes a long time, and it takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of dedication and effort and intention for me to build that skill in meditation. It does the same thing in mindfulness and letting go of judgment. It's a skill I have to develop. Simple observation, it's just not easy to do. There are none of us that a fully achieved freedom from the bondage that judgment wraps us up in. Like every other aspect of spirituality, it's a goal. SLC, being here, I mean this, being here at the Spiritual Light Center these last 8 years, it's changed me for the better. Because I set an intention before I came here, before I came to Franklin, one of my prayers, having no idea, I'd never been to Franklin. I came to Franklin to buy a house before I'd ever been to this town. It's really strange, but that's the truth. And one of the things was, I want a spiritual guide. And God did not give me a spiritual guide. He gave me a Spiritual Light Center instead. And it's helped me to be free of judgments because that was a dedication that I put myself toward. And I know I've got a long ways to go. So I guess that's why I'm going to stick around here for a while. And I appreciate you.